Now, thanks to remarkable advances in marine technology, we can use instruments such as our sonar hydrophones to actually hear the host talk.
Hey, man. Hey, how's it going? How's it going? It's going pretty good. Yeah, I'm doing good.
Welcome to the first ever Laughing Plays podcast. My name is Daniel.
And my name is Jonathan, and on the show we will discuss, debate, debunk, and deconstruct anything and everything Disney.
That's right. So let's first give a little bit of background about ourselves. As I said, my name is Daniel. My favorite theme park attraction, either past or present, is Horizons from Epcot. My favorite theme park is the original Disneyland in California. My favorite Disney movie is Mary Poppins, and my favorite Disney character is Humphrey the Bear.
Hi, my name is Rachel, and my favorite Disney attraction is Fantasmic. My favorite theme park is Disneyland. My favorite movie is Beauty and the Beast. And my favorite Disney character is Flower from Bambi.
Hi, my name is Megan, and my favorite Disney attraction is the Haunted Mansion. My favorite theme park is Disneyland, even though I've only been there once. My favorite movie is Mary Poppins, and my favorite Disney character is Princess Aurora.
And my name is Jonathan. My favorite attraction is Rockin' Roller Coaster, starring Aerosmith. My favorite theme park is Epcot. My favorite movie is Pirates of the Caribbean. And my favorite Disney character is Mike Wazowski from Monsters Incorporated.
Mike Wazowski!
So let's get the show started with the news.
Theme Park News. The Orlando Sentinel reports Siemens has signed on to sponsor several Disney theme park attractions, both in California and Florida. Siemens will sponsor both Spaceship Earth and Reflections of Earth at Epcot, and Walt Disney's Parade of Dreams at Disneyland in California. At Disney's California Adventure, the Dino Jack Sunglass Shack has gone from pink and yellow to a bright green.
Yet another excuse to buy sunglasses inside.
To promote Chicken Little, a large inflated balloon of the main character has been placed next to the entrance of Disney's California Adventure.
The Godzilla chicken terrorizing guests in front of California Adventure.
Hollywood Wax Museum near Knott's Berry Farm closed its doors on October 31st. This long-running family attraction featured sculptures of celebrities both past and present, including one of Walt Disney.
Even though I only went there once, I thought it was a really great attraction, and I think it's really sad that it's closing. Although it was a little strange, because as you were walking through the exhibit, about halfway through, you came to a gift shop, and you couldn't bypass it. You pretty much had to walk right through it, which I found really bizarre.
The whole exhibit's split there, where you can either go to the horror wing, too, but yet that just went back into that gift shop, so...
It was very unusual.
Moving to East Coast News. Walt Disney World has begun charging $2 to embroider names on Mickey Mouse ears.
This is something that's been rumored for quite some time, but honestly, I never really expected them to go through with it. I'm not sure if adding a $2 surcharge is a good idea from a psychological perspective, considering in this day and age with consumers being worried about nickel and dime, it just doesn't seem like a good idea to me.
I'm actually kind of surprised that they've decided to do this rather than just including it in the cost of the mouse ears and perhaps raising that, because it seems to me something that would really strike out to people, something that they hadn't been charged for in the past that might really be remembered.
I think this might cause some people to get chicken about buying the Mickey Mouse ears.
In an odd bit of news, guests have spotted a Mr. Toad statue at the Pet Cemetery at the exit of the Haunted Mansion.
Was merrily on his way to the graveyard.
He croaked.
Club Cool, the replacement for Ice Station Cool, is scheduled to open November 16th. It's still unknown if the sample stations of Coke products from around the world will return.
I really hope it does, because I could really use a Beverly fix about now.
Beverly! Beverly! Beverly!
And the watermelon stuff is good, too.
And what about all those people who love tricking their family into trying the Beverly? You know, they're going to be awfully disappointed by this.
Great home videos come from Beverly. But most people are too chicken to try it.
And of course, the special trick we've invented where you mix everything but Beverly and it tastes like mango. Ironic, because there is no mango in any of the beverages, so don't ask us how it happens. We really don't understand ourselves.
And while not Disney-related, the long-shuttered Xanadu, the House of the Future, on the 192 near Walt Disney World, has been destroyed.
No more mold!
Yeah!
The eyesore has finally been destroyed.
Wotness!
Movie news. The Los Angeles Times reported that Disney's Meet the Robinsons will be released in 3D. Chicken Little climbed to the top spot on last weekend's movie charts. The movie grossed $32 million and has accumulated $81 million so far. With its strong word of mouth, Chicken Little has a strong chance of getting over $200 million. By comparison, Robots made $128 million and Madagascar made $193 million.
I am the champion.
I am the champion.
But gone is the loser.
'Cause I am
the champion of the world.
And this concludes our news for the week. And now, Jonathan, with our trivia question.
In the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction, what is the name of the mayor being dunked in the well? The answer is coming up.
And now, a very exciting part of our show, Armchair Imagineering. This is where we put on our sorcerer hats and try to come up with interesting ideas for the theme parks. Today, we're going to be discussing how to make the contemporary hotel contemporary, because it's been a long time since 1971, and it is showing its age, and considering its name is the Contemporary Hotel, what do you think they can do to help keep it up to date?
It's a difficult question because you have to figure out how to modernize it without making it look too much like an ordinary public space people would be in on a regular basis. One good question is, do you think that the mural should be kept in the middle of the contemporary? Because it's a rather dated looking mural, as much as I love Mary Blair.
Yeah, I think the first step would be to replace that mural. As nice as it is, it just doesn't really scream nowadays art.
Mm-hmm. If I were Disney, I may keep the retro feel of it because you're never going to stay up to date, but I would maybe even use shag and do a big thing. If you wanted to keep a big mural, I don't know if it's necessary in this day and age to do a big mural that's quite that detailed. I think that is somewhat of an earlier concept. I don't think people do that as much now. I think one thing that would help is painted glass and frosted glass like they have in the Soarin' queue at Epcot. I think that would be great along the banisters and all the levels of the hotel.
That look in general would be good, though. Yeah. For everywhere.
Yeah, I think your idea to go with the shag art and maybe, you know, a retro modern feel is a good idea, because that is the problem that you always run into with anything contemporary. It's the same problem the Tomorrowlands and the Magic Kingdom have. That would be the best way to avoid actually having to update it every two decades or so, you know, a major cosmetic overhaul.
Well, that's sort of like what they did with the new Tomorrowland, and, well, we know how that came out.
It's a very slippery slope, because if you make it too retro, then it looks dated too. So, in general, I think the best thing to do would be to try to keep it like a retro chic and not try too hard to make it modern. But it's a fine line. You got to keep it modern, too, and I would think that it should be a combination of the two worlds, and I think that would be the best solution to the contemporary hotel. This has been Armchair Imagineering. Next week, we plan to discuss different ideas for holiday overlays, such as Haunted Mansion Holiday and It's a Small World Holiday that they currently do at Disneyland. If you have any ideas, you can call us toll-free at 1-866-327-5072 or email us at podcast@laughingplace.com. If you're under 18 years of age, please make sure you have your parents' or guardian's permission before calling.
And who knows? Maybe your idea will be featured on the future Laughing Place podcasts. Don't be too chicken to call in.
And now for tour tips, where we give advice from the seasoned Disney Destinations visitor. Our tip for today is viewing the Magic Kingdom fireworks at Walt Disney World from the Polynesian Resort instead of a place in the park.
It's very nice to just go out there on the beach in the hammock, sit there, watch the pyro. And what's really great is that not only is it a fantastic view because you've got the Seven Seas Lagoon view, you have the music as well. They even pipe in the music.
It's especially great for families with little kids. It's very easy to leave the Magic Kingdom and go to the Polynesian. You just take the resort monorail.
What's also pretty nifty is that on the windows of the Contemporary Hotel, you can actually sometimes see the reflections of fireworks blasting off. So it's kind of a neat color show in two different locations, as it were.
Another thing is that you can also watch the Electrical Water Pageant on the beach. It's a very fun little show that's not touted or advertised, but it's a cute little production, and you usually can see it directly after the fireworks. It usually takes place right after they're over.
What's nice is that because not very many people know about this, is that you never have to really worry about crowds. Unlike within the theme parks, you tend to have to look for a spot or have to push through the crowds to see a really just good view. But because of the wide open space, it's a very interesting way to view the fireworks.
And the wide open space makes a great view for perimeter fireworks. And perimeter fireworks is what they do for Not So Scary or Very Merry Christmas, which are specially ticketed. They actually have, I think, about 6 launching locations from all around the Magic Kingdom where they launch fireworks. So essentially, if you're inside the park, you're surrounded by the fireworks. However, viewing them from the Polynesian or outside of the park, you get this panoramic
Cinemascope
pyro show. And it's really impressive. In fact, I almost think it's more impressive than being in the park because you can see it all at one time instead of having to crane your neck. And you don't have to pay the extra ticket fee.
And you don't have to pay the extra ticket fee at all. So
all in all, the Polynesian is a great spot to watch the fireworks. And I don't think I mentioned this, but you can even see Tinkerbell if you look really carefully. So maybe bring your binoculars, but you can see Tinkerbell from the Polynesian as long as you can see Cinderella Castle.
This week in Disney history, where we highlight the historical dates of the week ahead. November 15th is the 16th anniversary of The Little Mermaid. November 16th is the 15th anniversary of Rescuers Down Under. November 18th is the 17th anniversary of Oliver and Company. November 22nd is the 14th anniversary of Beauty and the Beast.
This brings us to the nitpick of the week, where we take something about Disney and nitpick it and analyze it to the millionth degree.
To the point where you want to injure us.
Probably. We'll hopefully not. We'll see what happens.
We'll try to restrain ourselves.
Today we'll be discussing the Haunted Mansion and the various nitpicky things we've discovered through our many trips through the attraction. First of all, who hired the caretaker in the graveyard? If it's been an abandoned mansion for years, who pays his wages?
That's another thing. How does Master Gracie always end up having a fresh grave? And who digs it, you know? It's quite odd. I mean, are ghosts able to pick up shovels?
Well, the whole thing with ghosts picking up objects, it's one of those things I've never understood in any sort of entertainment enterprise, because it seems like based on the plot or something, the ghost can either pick up something or go through something. I mean, I guess there's laws about it that some people get into, but I've never really understood the whole thing.
And on another note, what purpose does an endless hallway actually have in a house anyways? You'd think it would make it awfully hard to get to the destination that you were supposed to get to.
Well, it's endless in theory, because all the ghosts have to have some room, and they all just fit down that hallway. And considering there's 999, that's a whole lot of rooms.
999 ghosts, they've got to be violating some sort of fire laws.
And exactly what entrance are you entering through in Orlando anyways? You know, at Disneyland, you go in the front door. It's perfectly logical. At Walt Disney World, you walk right by the front door and evidently enter through the basement, which is still themed so that it looks like you're entering a nice house.
Apparently, they, were really snooty, and so they didn't ever let people come in the front door. You had to be worthy, and most of the regular people would come through their back door.
Well, no, it's just in case there was, a raid on their house. They could go to their basement, so they could entertain people down there where there's, a chimney and everything. And another thing is that why they have a big hill leading up to their attic. So not only did they build the entrance to the house in the basement, but they also built it in front of a hill so you could exit your attic into a graveyard.
And who just hangs, random mirrors inside a crypt just so you can see the ghost next to you? I mean, they're just hanging there, for no apparent reason. What are they reflecting? The other wall? I think it was a design theory that they wanted to make it seem bigger, so they just hung a bunch of mirrors up
the old Trading Spaces gimmick, you know?
The real question is, why are some ghosts people and some ghosts are skeletons? Because really, if you think about it, when you die, I'd hate to be the person who died as a skeleton because all your flesh rotted away. That sounds kind of uncomfortable because, you know, it's adorable to die as a body, but if you die as a skeleton, that's pretty nasty. And also, is Madame Leota a ghost, or is it just a head in a jar that talks?
It's like one of those $20... See, back in the day, they didn't have the deer mounted on the wall that would sing Christmas carols. They had a lady in the crystal ball.
Ah. Party trick. It's like the whole waiter thing, how he brings the tray and there's a head there. They said it was a crystal ball.
They bought it through a mail order catalog for $19.95. Now Jonathan will bring you our top 10 list.
Today's top 10 list is about chickens. Not chickens as in the bird, but chickens as in, yike, I'm scared kind of chicken. To start off, number 10, the caretaker from the Haunted Mansion.
Now, I think he would be higher on our list, but honestly, you gotta feel sorry for the poor guy. I mean, that's a scary situation to be in.
He doesn't exactly do anything about it. I mean, he just stands there looking frightened.
Maybe he's polarized. He's petrified with fright.
Polarized? Okay. That explains a lot.
Yes.
Okay. Number 9 is Marlin from Finding Nemo.
Hello. My name is Marlin. I'm a clownfish.
Marlin would be higher, but he had a very traumatic experience. His chickenness is somewhat understandable.
For a fish.
Number
8, Hoagie and Dr. Terminus from Pete's Dragon.
They're rather dumb chickens because they put themselves into vulnerable situations. If they're so scared of the dragon, then why do they have this scheme of grinding him and chopping him up? Can't they just keep rooking people?
Maybe they figured he wasn't very scary or something. Well, he doesn't look very scary, that's for sure.
But somehow they're scared by him. Exactly why they're big chickens.
Yeah. Number 7, Tigger from Winnie the Pooh.
Say, how did this tree get so high?
I totally can relate to being scared of heights, because I can be scared of heights, so I understand
that.
But
if they have to turn the world over for you, I think that's kind of beyond chickenness there.
Yeah, I would think that is rather ridiculous.
Number 6, Bernard from The Rescuers.
Not only chicken, but very superstitious.
The whole 13 steps thing going on to the albatross and everything.
Yeah. But he does do the right thing when the time comes, so that makes him not as high.
He makes up for it there. Number 5, Stoutheart from The Snowball Express.
What I don't need is a 200-pound chicken.
Now he's a big chicken. I mean, all he heard was like a pan drop, and he like ran away.
But he can close doors pretty well.
True. For a dog. And everybody who hasn't seen Snowball Express will not understand that. Watch it, folks. It's not that bad, especially the first 5 minutes.
Anyway. Number 4, Toby the Turtle from Robin Hood.
Prince John will chop off your head. Like this.
I think it's just being a turtle. I mean, they're typecast. Because they can withdraw into the shell, there's that ever popular gag of them doing that for a joke. So, essentially, turtles in animation, doomed to be shy and chicken for the rest of their lives.
Number 3, Piglet from Winnie the Pooh.
Oh dear. Oh dear, dear.
And Piglet is somewhat vulnerable, which I think keeps him from being like number 1, because he really is like probably the most chicken-y character. But he is really small and vulnerable, so you gotta feel a little sorry for him. And yes, he's a guy. Do not say he's a girl, because he is definitely a guy. Thank you.
Yes, he is a guy.
Let me get off my soapbox now.
Number 2, Ichabod Crane from The Adventures of Ichabod Crane and Mr. Toad.
Yeah, Ichabod is pretty manipulated. He only hears a story, and then he gets really freaked out. Although, do you think that it was Brom Bones dressed up as the Headless Horseman? Or do you think he really saw the Headless Horseman?
I think it was Brom Bones. Just me. Just to me. I think it would actually make the story a little more interesting that way.
Yeah,
me,
I...
Just
I think that it is. I never really thought much of that story until somebody brought up the fact that Brom Bones' horse looks pretty much identical as the Headless Horseman's horse. And then I was like, hey, then you can take it that way. And I think it makes the story a lot more interesting when you have...
Because you can either look at one way, which, or you can look at the more deeply profound way, depending.
Exactly.
So, and now, number one in this top 10 list.
Drum roll, please.
Don Knox. He's always a chicken, which is ironic, because in Chicken Little, he is a turkey.
I know. But Don Knotts, he's a comedic genius. He plays the chicken so well in all of his roles. Just a very funny guy. And he was even in a non-Disney movie called The Ghost and Mr. Chicken. So we really had to put him number one. There really is no other chicken like Don Knotts.
Yeah, Don Knotts in general. Every character, he's basically chicken.
Except for when he's a turkey. All right, well, that was a great top 10 list. Very enlightening.
And now for the answer to our trivia question. But I will repeat the question just in case you missed it earlier. Here we go. In the Pirates of the Caribbean attraction, what is the name of the mayor being dunked in the well? The answer is Carlos. Don't be chicken.
Chicken, you know, I was Chicken Little. We're funny, aren't we?
Witty.
Uh-huh. This concludes our first ever Laughing Place podcast. We'd love to hear from any of our listeners, so please send us voicemails regarding anything and everything Disney, anything we've discussed on the show, the upcoming Armchair Imagineering segment, which again is going to be about holiday overlays. So if you have any ideas about new holiday overlays for attractions, go ahead and send them in, or any other comments. What's the number, Jonathan?
Our number is 866-327-5072.
If you're under 18 years of age, please make sure you have your parents' or guardian's permission before calling. And for those of you who'd rather use a mnemonic device to remember, it's
2 of Ask Zero Paw.
I'm sure that will help a lot of people. And now, Jonathan, with our last words.
A bird in the hand means the Tiki Room is 101.
Goodbye.
See ya.